hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Thank you for hanging on this hour. If you'd like to join us, we've got two lines taken, and we're going to take those calls right now. But if you'd like to join us, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960, and I don't need to remind you that if you're a car guy, you know that the Good Guys Car Show is up at Westworld today and tomorrow, and that's where all of us will meet at one time or another. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission. There's hardly a week that goes by that I don't get a call from a happy customer from Quality Transmission. They tell me how easy it was to deal with Bob and his staff, how knowledgeable they were, how much money it was the bill was less than what they thought they were, and how happy they are that they actually went to Quality Transmission. Well, I know you'll be happy as well. Quality Transmission is located on McClintock, north of University in Tempe. That's Quality Transmission. It's owned by Bob Jones, and frankly, you couldn't find a better guy than him. All right, let's go to the phones. Bill, thank you for holding as long as you have. How can I help you today?
Thanks, Mark, for taking the call. I'm elderly, 72, and that's a relative term, and I have a 95 Avalon that has Toyota Avalon that has 73,000 miles on it.
Okay.
And it's in good shape and things, but I worry because of the age, 17 years old, that was the first Avalon, I think, made. And you know, I worry about safety and what I should look for in case I need a repair.
Okay, I can help you with that. I can help you. Tell me how many miles a year you drive.
Well, that would be about 4,000 or 5,000. It's my wife's car.
Okay. So she's really and truly, she's one oil change a year.
Okay.
And she should be having her oil changes done in April or May, right before summer.
Okay.
And then that gives her the best shot.
Okay.
Now, if she's only driving 3,000 or 4,000 miles a year, she's not going to Flagstaff, the Grand Canyon, Las
right.
Vegas, San Diego.
Right.
Frankly, I just watch for symptoms.
Okay.
I understand what you're saying, but even if your wife was my mother, my answer wouldn't change.
Uh-huh.
Just watch for symptoms, vibrations. A different way it sounds when it starts, or it cranks longer than before, a fuel economy drop. But the good news is that your 95 Avalon has what we call OBD1, onboard diagnostics, first level. We're into second and three now. But the idea is the computer will pick up most of those issues that are engine related.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're also going to have your tires rotated about every 2 years, and during the tire rotation, during your oil change, they're going to check the brakes. If you really use a good shop on your oil changes, this is what industry standards dictate. We are supposed to look at the car, and we are supposed to bring to your attention anything that we think that will cause you harm or anguish only for a window that is your oil change interval. Because no one can expect us to have a crystal ball and look into the future further than that. So technicians are taught to look at the car and say, hey, Bill, you got steel hanging out of one of the tires, and I know that tire won't go 4,000 miles. You got two of them that are worn pretty ugly. I think you need two tires and an alignment, and I think you'll be okay. The other two tires are just fine. That's the kind of conversation you want to have. But the flip side of the coin is, you know, they got all kinds of coupon specials now. I read about one this morning where you get $177 worth of work for $39.95.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three oil changes in there, and there's a, we don't know, but your coupon will have something else that's free. Why? This is just an opportunity. You're paying them so they can shop your car.
Yeah.
So I want to teach you one thing, though, symptoms. When you go into a repair shop and they say to you, you need to have your engine decarbonized, then you say, what symptoms are you going to fix for me that I have now? And I promise you, this is what you're going to hear. Let me check with Arnold. He's the technician.
Yeah.
They don't know. They're selling you something that makes money for them that has nothing to do with your well-being. So if you have a good shop that's really looking over it, and every once in a while they'll say something to you, I got a little bit of a tranny leak at the pan. It's not time to do the service yet. I'm going to keep an eye on it, but I don't think it's something that I need to worry about right now. Have you seen anything on the floor? And you say, no, I frankly haven't. Good. When you see something on the floor, we'll deal with it. Isn't that what you want?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Then that's what you look for. Is you look for a shop that isn't going to make his payment on you every time you come in. He's just simply going to play by the rules, and the Lord will take care of him. All right?
Well, that's what I tell my guy. And I do have a shop that I use, and I won't mention it. But
you can.
Well, Combs, and I think you've recommended them before.
Yep.
And but I feel, I said, you know, you're my doctor. I'm coming in here. I know nothing about my body, but you do. And that's, and I trust you until I can't trust you anymore.
No.
You screw me once, and, you know, and that's, you know, you're not going to do it the second time.
It's hasta la vista, baby.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gone. Now, Mark, I've known Mark for 20 years or more, and he's just a really good guy. And Mark is not one of those guys that allows his technicians. You see, that's the real problem. The real problem is this. Who are the service writers working for? If Combs had the service writers working for the technicians, then they will conspire to sell you everything you don't need and then some. But if the service writer, as Combs is, I know this for sure, works for the customer. So the service writer is really an advocate for the customer, and their job is to filter the BS that comes out of the shop and sell only stuff that they need.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you that Combs has technicians that know very well that he doesn't do that. So there's no problem there. But there's other shops. The question is in the shop industry, how many of the shops are actually run by the techs in the shop? That's the answer. So,
yeah.
All righty. Well, good luck to you. Thank you very much, Mark.
Appreciate the help.
You betcha. Bye-bye. And Tony, you're up next, buddy. How can I help you today?
Hey, thank you, sir. I want to give you fair warning. You really don't want me coming into your shop making noises, because after the first time, you probably lock the door if you want to come again, okay? But look, this question I want to ask you, it's an automotive-related question.
Okay.
And I want to hear your insight, your opinion.
Okay.
It's somewhat derived from a car and driver, popular mechanics, you know, kind of position.
Okay.
Now, you've got a lot of experience, and your colleagues, too, with everything that's going on in the automotive industry. A lot of history, okay?
Okay.
But you have trends. You have two very distinct trends. You have governmental regulatory trends, you know, such as real strict CAFE standards, things like that. Yet we also have the very obvious consumer trends.
Yep.
People are buying more pickup trucks than ever right now. Okay, that's been that way for a long time.
Yep.
Right now, you have a trend developing in certain states, California, Nevada, about these self-directed vehicles that are out there. You know, self-driving cars.
Yep.
Now, you understanding fully everything that's involved with doing something like that, you know, all the variables, is something like that, is that trend ever going to take off? I mean, whatsoever. I mean, yeah, you can prove it, but is it going to be feasible? Can you put it into the market, you know, and have people actually buy something like that and depend upon it?
The answer is yeah. You'd be amazed at some of the electronics that we see on cars. You'd be amazed at how fast this information is processed. They say anywhere from 300 to 3,000 times a second. So those cars that drive themselves, there's going to be a particular kind of paint on the roadway. But here's what could happen. I am mad. I work for the highway department, and I paint lines on the roadway. And we're going to have the two outer lines, they're white, of one kind of paint. And then we're going to have the yellow ones in the center as one kind, or white ones as one kind, a double yellow. All of them are going to have different properties so the computer can understand where your car's at on the road. So one of the nights, I'm going to get out and get my roller, and I'm going to go down to the freeway where nobody's looking, and I'm going to take that paint off the center line, and I'm going to make a hard left and go into the ditch. And I know the next self-driving car is going to follow that. But it won't. Because we're going to program logic into these computers that says, do not make any kind of evasive maneuver unless the front sensor has identified something of iron or animal in front of you, and you can only make this kind of a maneuver to the left, and I'm going to look at my chart here, and let me see, how fast are you going? 62 miles an hour, and the chart says delta V, and rollover capabilities. Okay, you can turn 17 degrees safely. Steering wheel, turn 17 degrees safely. Yeah. Oh, ABS, apply. Oh, we've got something in front of us. There's a block wall. Apply all the brakes. This can happen in a hundredth of a blink of an eye. Here's what I think. This is kind of a science fiction thing. The question is, are we going to improve the car so much before we all have our own fly-in suit? Before they actually come out with some kind of a George Jetson pack that we put on and we fly to work? That's the real question. Because the computers, we have 9 computers on many cars of today. And all of that is certainly capable. We've got cars parallel parking for you with sensors. And the real beauty of this is I got to tell you, they make mistakes. There's no question they make mistakes.
2 minutes.
But we learn. And here's the beauty of it. We pull your car into the garage. We hook up a computer to it. We go to the cloud. And we say, he keeps hitting the car behind him. And they go, if you're going in reverse and you're doing a parallel park and you hit the car behind you, it's because the spacing has been scrambled. So instead of a 12-inch spacing, we're going to give you an 18-inch spacing. So download this software update. Think we do that. We walk away from the car. Now, it costs me as much as $3,000 a month to have access to all of those for every car. I choose to buy it on a month-by-month basis as opposed to annually because I don't know how many Saabs I'm going to have come in that needs to have a software update. But to answer your question, the technology is so rapid, and while the space industry drives technology in one direction, cars drive it in another. We got cars today. The 57 Chevy, if it had a four-barrel carburetor, had 195 horsepower. The 57 Chevy, four-barrel, 307, 283, 327, 305, whatever that small block was, it had 195 horses. We got four-cylinder Mazdas today with a turbo that are pumping out 300 and 400 horses.
Plus.
So yeah, the technology's there and the fuel is there. In the old days, if you locked yourself in the garage, you would die of starvation, or you would die of asphyxiation within minutes, an hour for sure. In the new days, today, if you lock yourself in your garage, you're going to die of starvation before you die of asphyxiation.
Yeah. Now, I don't know. Out on the open road, though, I still accrue to the song, you know, keep your eyes on the road and your hands upon the wheel.
I agree. We're going to continue this conversation. Just bear with me, and we'll be right back right after this.
I am not an American, Sam Clements once quipped. I am the American. Humorous, satirist, and scathing social commentator Mark Twain occupies a special place in the pantheon of American and world writers.
It's Mark
960
and
The Patriot is excited to present Mark Twain at Large.
Correct, yes.
One night only in Scottsdale. Tickets are $20 online and only available through 960 The Patriot. Get yours today at 960thepatriot.com and click on Mark Twain at Large icon.
Tickets sponsored by People's Mortgage.
This is Bob Jones, owner of Quality Transmission Service in Tempe. Over the years, we've noticed we get two types of customers. One customer drives into our shop at the first sign of a problem, and the other waits until the vehicle breaks down and has to be towed in. The drivers who bring us their transmissions right away often catch the problem in the early stages while it's still a minor problem. The other customers...
The mechanic raised up from under
Well, welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem, and we're going to be here till noon talking about cars and car services and car repairs and car subjects. And we were talking to Tony. Tony, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me remind you just two things. And if there's an airline pilot that flies the big airplanes, I'd like to hear him chime in about this. Number one, the computer can do things so much faster than a driver who's fully awake. The computer can identify that car 500 yards ahead of him that is stopped, and it sees it even in spite of the fact it doesn't have his lights on. So the computer can apply the brakes, it can steer the car, it can do things so much better, and I think I would like to be able to get into my car, program an address in Tucson, and say, surround me with a bunch of pillows, please, and have my car drive me to do something.
Well, now, let me ask you this. I mean, you know, you're using the airline, you know, the landing system that they have. They line up behind each other, but they line up miles behind each other. They're not inches off each other's bumper, granted that. But, you know, cars, obviously, it's a lot of congestion, especially when you get in the urban area. But I guess the question is, are we going to be able to, you know, for something like that to actually work, you know, 100% guaranteed, you know, is what I'm getting at. Can we overcome the road conditions of inclement weather and poor maintenance for something like that to actually work?
Yes. And I'll tell you what the default, what you're asking for is what's the default? And the default will be just what it is today. When your ABS fails, we put you back to conventional braking. When you can no longer parallel park, you got a parallel park. So the default will go back to what we'll call someday Fred Flintstone times, where you have to take control of the car. If you don't want ABS, I can disconnect it for you. If you don't want the transmission to shift a certain pattern, there's guys out there that can change it. If you want the, I mean, we already have hackers that can do just about anything on the car. I mean, if your car has a speed limiter and at 101 miles an hour it starts killing cylinders, there's someone out there that will take your PC, an onboard PC, and make it 200 if you want it. So,
of course, I guess the best thing to do would be, you know, for when the default kicks in, is to put that horn underneath that seat to wake you up.
You got it. You got it. And, you know, I was thinking about, you took the words out of my mouth, but I was thinking, I've been told by airline pilots that an airplane could take off in Paris, empty, by itself, and fly to St. Louis and land. And I've been told, and you're right, they are. But when we get to do that, when we get to where the spacing of the cars is important, the computer won't let you get close enough to the car because it's going to look at the car and say, 51 feet ahead of me, and he's doing 43 miles an hour. 43 miles an hour, or 40 miles an hour, is 2.5 times your speed in feet, or 1.5 times your speed in feet. So 40 plus 20 is 60, and they're at 51. We're too close. Back up to 60 feet, 62 feet. Okay, now I can bring the car to a stop. So no longer are you going to have people tailgating you. And
right, now, another thing, though, I mean, just thinking, you know, like what you were talking about, is kind of like the, you know, the free association way of thinking kind of stuff, talking about this. I wonder how this is going to change insurance if you're not in control of the vehicle and an accident happens.
Well, that's going to be a liability issue the car makers are going to have to address. Because I'll tell you what's a good example. We've already walked this path. Airbags. We've already walked this path. So they come out with the airbags, and yeah, people have been hurt by the airbags, but far and away, 99% of the claims about airbags is I hit the wall and it didn't go off. But in reality, we need a 12 to 18 mile an hour loss in a very small time frame, and you hit the wall with a glancing blow, and the computer only saw 6 miles an hour wiped off your speed, and it's programmed to say a 6 mile an hour delta V, they call it, a change in speed, is not enough for me to throw an airbag in your face. So today, it's virtually non-existent. If somebody wanted to sue a car manufacturer over an airbag issue, they'd have a tough time finding an expert.
Right, but I'm talking about if your vehicle is under control of the computer and it runs into someone else or, God forbid, strikes a pedestrian.
Yeah. I think what you're going to find out, Tony, is that originally we're all going to be a half a mile away from one another. I don't think it's going to let us get close. They're going to use us for R&D. So as people crash, they're going to look at the data, and they're going to say, okay, we need to change this parameter, we need to change that. But I want to tell you something. If I were walking down I-10 today with what I know about computers, I'd much rather have 100 computerized cars come up on me behind me and pass me than 100 drivers not knowing how many of them are impaired.
Better yet, just stay off the street.
Exactly. All right, thank you, Tony. I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. Mark, you're up next. How can I help you?
Sure. Hi, how's it going today?
Good.
Hey, I've got a 2002 Ford diesel F-350. It doesn't really matter, I suppose. I'm having some AC issues.
Okay.
And the AC issue I'm having is it works great, okay? I mean, if I'm sitting in my driveway and you flip on your air conditioner, you know, it'll freeze you out of that thing. And then you get in it and you start driving around. And you can tell when it quits because, you know, you get that smell like it's just quit. It's not AC anymore. It's just normal air.
Yep.
And then, you know, I'll shut it off and drive around whatever I'm doing, and I can turn it back on again, and it'll start working just fine.
Okay, is your cab on your truck a regular cab, extended cab, or crew cab?
It's a crew cab, sir.
Okay, got diesel or gas?
Diesel, sir.
And when you're driving around town, are you the only one in the vehicle?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and when you go to sleep at night, who's hotter and who's colder, you or your wife?
She's probably hotter than I am. I think she's a lot hotter than I am personally.
Okay, all right. I'm talking about body temperature, okay? All right, try to stick with me here, buddy. All right, and when you're driving around town, where's your fan speed, 1, 2, 3, or 4?
I don't put it on 4. I just put it on the one just before the top one.
Okay, 3. When you park the truck, do you get a lot of water out of the bottom of it?
I don't get any more than I think I've always gotten out of it.
Here's what I want you to try. And are you on maximum recirculatory, or are you on outside air?
No, I'm on that.
Okay, I want you to try this. Here's what I think is happening. The fact that you said that it'll ice your tail end out of there tells me it's working fine.
Yeah.
Okay? The fact that you say that you're leaving water means we are frosting up the freezer.
Okay.
And we're icing that evaporative, and especially since you put it on recirculatory. So the air that's going in to be cooled is already doggone cold. So we're going to take that evaporator core, and we're going to wipe half of it out with a big sheet of ice. And you can't see that, but that's the water on the ground. So I want you to move from recirculatory to outside air. I want you to drop your driver's window down about an inch, and I'll bet you dollars to donuts this problem goes away, and I don't ever want you to use speed 1 or speed 2. Because if I have my hand out, and I've got an ice cube on it, if I blow gently across the ice cube, it's going to take me forever to defrost
it. 1 minute.
But if I get my mother-in-law to talk to it, if you get my drift here, then she's going to melt that ice cube in a really short period of time. And so I think if you just change two things. Number one, go to outside air, because now that warm air is going to help control the iceberg that's being done. And number two, don't go below 3. And if you do go below 3, it's okay. It's just roll the windows down and mix a little bit of warm air with the cold air. So let's use the windows to help control the iceberg you're trying to create, and that will help you out. But don't spend any money on this. The bottom line is what you have, you caused.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you, sir.
You betcha. Thank you, Mark. And Merv, when we get back, we're going to talk to you, so stay right there. We have open lines available, 602-508-0960, 508-0960, 602-508-0960. When we get back, we're going to talk to Merv. Thank you for spending your Saturday with me. We got another half an hour to go. We'll be right back right after this.
D&B Auto Repair Analyst and the Better Business Bureau Ethics Award. And in 2000...
Get stereo tape and a color TV. Get a backseat bar and reclining seats. And just pay once a month like you do your rent.
Welcome back, everybody. My name's Mark Salem. It's 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We're here on Under the Hood every Saturday from 10 to noon talking about cars and your car questions. And we're here for you. We're not here to sell you anything. I'm not asking you to buy anything. We're just providing good, honest auto repair information to help you wind your way through our industry the very best you can. And I'm somebody that's been in our industry since 1968, so been around for quite a while. Just real quick before we take Merv, you know, in that commercial just a few minutes ago where it talked about, you know, cover your mouth when you sneeze and all that kind of stuff? Well, this is really stupid. This is what's going to be on my headstone. It's going to say, Mark lived to be 92 years old and never washed his hands after he left the bathroom. I just think that is so perfect. Now, it doesn't necessarily, I'm not suggesting it's true, but there is a message there. I think it's a message to people that's okay. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in. Merv, help me out here, buddy. How can I help you today?
All right, I had to chuckle about that one. Crazy advertisements kind of bend one's sense of humor at times, and that's one of them.
Yep.
Anyway, working on a 2000 Mercury door, inside door panel, front left door, trying to get it off, and I pulled all the screws I can find, and that booger acts like it's still got something holding it. I've tried prying it a little bit and had to stop because I was applying too much pressure.
Yeah. you got a couple of different options. What I want to caution you about is if you roughhouse it and you end up taking that panel and breaking it, you're really going to be sorry, because chances are there's no one around. You got a couple things. The car's drivable, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there a body shop close by where you're at?
I haven't thought about it.
Okay.
I haven't lived out here forever.
All right. And where do you live?
Live out Sunset Way.
Okay. There's a place, Auto Dynamics, Grand Avenue and 99th Avenue. They have a body shop there.
Grand 99th Auto Dynamics. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then there's an S&S Tire there, the south of Grand, west side of 91st Avenue in Peoria. But this is okay. This is when you're going to allow us to show you our skills for free. We're going to be your hero. So if you go to S&S or you go to Auto Dynamics and you say, Mark Salem said that you'd probably take a few minutes of your time and just show me where the hidden screw's at. Here's a couple things. Number one, if there is a hidden screw, you'll end up tearing it up. A lot of times what it is it's one of those raccoon tail kind of things where you go through a hole and it spreads out, it's rubber. We have special tools, forks, that we go in behind there and we pop the panel out.
All right.
Well, then you have to buy those new rat tail things again,
gotcha.
Those little keepers. But this is something the glass guys know how to take that door panel off, because they have to take the door panel off in order to replace a broken window. The body shops know how to take that door panel off. Mechanical shops know how to take that door panel off. So you just go in and don't do yourself a favor. Don't do it on Monday mornings or Friday afternoon for obvious reasons. But 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, you pull in and you just say, you know, and pay them a compliment. It's called waving the red flag in front of the bull. Hi, Derek. This is at Auto Dynamics. Hey, Derek, how are you? Fine. I heard you guys are just know everything in the world, and I want to work on this car myself, and it keeps me away from my wife and keeps me from drinking. Could you just show me which? I got the door panel loose, but I can't find that last screw or whatever. And would you be my hero? And of course he's going to be your hero. And then as you walk away, you say, Derek, I'm coming back for my next oil change or whatever. So
2 minutes.
It's that kind of a relationship that all of us really strive for. We want to show you that we know what we're doing. If you'll stand there and watch us, that's even better. And then, of course, if we can be a hero in your eyes, it makes our day. So that's what I'd do.
All right.
All righty?
All right.
And you can tell them Mark sent you. If you go to Auto Dynamics, the body shop, you can go to Thunderbird Auto or S&S Tire. They're all up in that area.
All right.
And you can say, Mark Salem said that you'd look at
my
door
panel. Sounds like my phone's about to die.
Okay.
Take it easy on the engineers.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
This is a physics guy, by the way.
I'm serious when I tell the engineers. I just tease you because it's fun. You're easy to make fun of. And it's okay if you make fun of me. It's okay.
Some of us are.
Yeah.
Not all of us.
I know, but I don't mean it. I mean, there is one. First of all, I get lots of calls from wives that say, stop talking about my husband. Okay, so I know I'm hitting a nerve here.
One very well.
But the idea is I'm just teasing you, and we're just doing fun. It's entertainment, and this radio show is supposed to be 50% education and 50%
entertainment.
That's right. Thank you, Marv. All righty. And we got open lines available, and we got nobody on them, so 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Do I need to say it again? 602-508-0960. And my email address is mark@marksalem.com. If you're too shy to call me up, then just email me, mark@marksalem.com, and I'll answer you this afternoon as soon as my wife lets me. So until then, we'll be right back in just a few minutes. 602-508-0960. We got time for you if you want to stop by.
Legal.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Mark Salem, and we're going to go fast through this segment because we got callers, and I want to just start with this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Action Auto. Action Auto is a family-owned and operated garage, been servicing the Deer Valley area since 1983. They fix and maintain most makes and models, including diesels. All their technicians are ASE L1 certified. That's a really high level. They're a TechNec shop that offers free roadside service, towing, and coast-to-coast 12-month, 12,000-mile warranty. They also have a rewards program where you can accumulate points to receive discounts on other repairs. So if you're on that side of town, I-17 and Deer Valley Road, and you don't have a shop, or maybe you want to compare your shop to somebody I think is great, go see Tom at Action Auto, I-17 and Deer Valley Road. Okay, two things happened during the break. Number one, the GM called and said, did Salem really admit that he never washes his hands after he goes to the bathroom? And Jeremy said yes. And the second thing, my wife texted me and she said, you're sick. But that's okay, because we're going to go to Dirk. Dirk, how are you today? What can we do for you?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Well, I've got a... First of all, I want to thank you guys for finally turning up. I was looking for you for a little while and found you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
I've got a 93 S10, and every now and then when I start it in the morning, it runs really, really rough, like it's just got a horrific vacuum leak. But it doesn't do it every morning. And
all right, let me ask you some questions.
Yeah.
Are you adding any coolant, any oil to the engine?
Coolant maybe now and then.
Okay. All right. And when this happens, I want you to pay particular, I want you to know which side the tailpipe is on, so you know which rear view mirror to go on. And when it starts running rough, I want you to kind of rev it up, and I want you to watch out if the exhaust dumps on the passenger side. I want you to watch the exhaust, and I want to know if it's white, blue, or black.
Right.
That's what you need to know. If you walk into a shop and you say, intermittently on a cold morning, it runs poorly, it tells us that we have contamination in a cylinder. We're leaking a little bit of water into that cylinder overnight. We're leaking gasoline into the cylinder overnight because the injector's stuck open or something like that. Or we've got a valve guide problem. Then you say, I got black smoke when it happens. That's fuel. Blue is oil and white is water. So you've eliminated $100 worth of diagnostics if you can pull that off.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you very much, Dirk. You're a great guy. Thank you for holding. And Jody, you're next. Jody, how can I help you this morning?
Oh, how you doing, Mark?
Good.
I've been driving heavy-duty diesel trucks for a long time. And I recently bought a Dodge one-ton, a 2004 with Cummins in it. And with the removal of the, you know, almost all the sulfur from the diesel fuel these days,
yep.
I'm wondering what your recommendation is on fuel additive to replace the lubrication properties. You know, that
okay,
the
I don't
sulfur
do any.
Had.
I don't do any. And here,
really?
Here's what I'm being told. I'm being told by guys that I really respect that actually know what an injector is. They rebuild the injectors. They can test the injectors at 40,000 PSI. We were dumping lots of sulfur into the fuel with the intention of lubricating the injectors. As with all things, they started with a really big number. And then they quickly realized, or quickly is a misnomer, but they realized later that we didn't need all that sulfur, and of course it's a pollutant that we'd rather not have in our lungs. So we're down right now to where we are. This is very much like, remember when we did away with lead and they said that everybody's valves would fall out like old teeth and our roads would be littered with valves? It never happened. They said, oh, well, the lead lubricates the valves and we're going to wipe out all the valves. I'll get lots of arguments about that. There's going to be guys that said, oh, I've seen them. But when I ask them, how many have you seen? Well, I saw one or two or three. The fact of the matter is that the people with the additives, in my opinion, are taking advantage. I have lots of diesels, and I don't run any additives in any of them, and all of them were before the 2008 when they started really cutting the sulfur back. I drive a Duramax.
How many miles do you have on the truck?
I got about 90 on my truck, and that's 90 hard miles because I'm always hauling backhoes or trailers or whatever. I haven't had any problems. And here, even more important than that, we're servicing about 8,000 cars a year, and there's a considerable amount of diesels that go through our shop, and we're not seeing anything there either. So we're just not seeing it. We think, and we've been told, that the fuel has enough sulfur, however small amount it is, that lubricates it, plus we have lots of other things. The injectors are being made of better metal that doesn't wear. The pressures are a lot higher. We're cleaning the injectors with fuel, and we're adding other things to the fuel to compensate for that. So I don't add, the bottom line is I don't add anything to my diesels that were born and raised on a higher sulfur level than what we have today. That's it. All righty. Thank you, Jody. Thank you very, very much. George, you're up next. George, how can I help you today?
Yeah, this is George in Geisela. I talked to you back in July about a dry start on a Nissan V6. Anyway, your suggestion of going for no ignition on starting helps, you know, it's helping the problem, but it ain't killing it. Anyway, since I've had the truck, which is about 2003, I found out about 2 years ago when I had a first flat tire that Nissan equipped that pickup with four alloy wheels and one stamped steel wheel for a spare.
Yes.
That stamped steel wheel won't fit on the front wheels. The idea of the rim is too small and it hits the calipers.
Okay.
You know anybody there down in the valley there where I can go to get a wheel that will fit?
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. I want you to call All American Auto Wrecking on Baseline. All American Auto Wrecking on Baseline. And they're in Mesa.
Okay.
They're east of Country Club. And I want you to ask for Mark. His name is the same as mine. And there's nobody that knows more about wheels that
right.
I've ever even heard about. That
okay.
guy, he's going to say, this is what he can say to you. Yeah, I know what that is. That's a 1407 wheel, and it fits the back, but it doesn't fit the front. What you really need is a 1692 wheel, but if you want the alloy wheel, the wheel's a 1201. That's what you're going to get. Now, don't let anybody else talk to you. You just tell him, Mark Salem said to talk to Mark Busing.
Okay.
And he'll help you. Guaranteed.
Very good.
Okay.
I don't care if it's alloy or steel as long as it fits.
Yep, he'll help you. He'll help you.
Okay, thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Friendly, you're up next. Friendly, how are you today? What can we do for you?
Doing pretty good, Doc. My problem is, it was about a year ago, I have a house up in Flagstaff, and we took our 2001 Chevy Trailblazer up there, and I put it in four-wheel drive because it's starting to snow, parked it, and the next morning, went out to get in, turned it on, started it up, put it back into two-wheel drive, and it's like it's in neutral. It just won't go anywhere, and I wasn't having any problems with the transmission at all. I had that service maybe 6 months prior. But is there any things that I should look for, or have you ever heard of this?
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
And it's cold. It was probably, when I started it up in the morning, it was probably zero.
Yeah. This is your wife's cars, right, Friendly?
This is just one of my cars.
No, Friendly, take the hint here, buddy. This is your wife's car, right, Friendly?
Yeah, this is my wife's
okay.
car.
See, what she's not doing is that we are going to electronically select the transfer case. And she shouldn't have tried to put that and change it when the weather's below freezing. And in addition to that, all of these folks that have electronic selectors for two-wheel high, two-wheel low, four-wheel high, four-wheel low, and neutral, they never exercise that motor. So when they need the motor hasn't been used in, years, and they always need it when it's really cold and really wet, and the motor ain't going to work. And so it should be okay on a good warm day, and you're going to kind of rock the vehicle back and forth, and you're going to have it in gear, and you're going to push on it, and you might even get underneath it to the transfer case, and you'll find the motor's an exterior motor, and sometimes you can take the wooden hammer handle and just kind of, I'm going to say tap, almost beat the cylinder.
Oh, okay. Give it a good, pretty
yeah,
good
Yeah, give it a couple of good wraps. And all of a sudden it'll go, and you'll have it everything you want. But at the first of the month, every month, I put my truck, the first time I have to get on the freeway and go into town, maybe I'm going to court as a witness, not as a defendant. I'm going into court, I'll put it in four-wheel high, and I'll go 5, 6, 7 miles in four-wheel high, nice and straight, so when I'm not turning left or right real tight, and it hops around like it does in four-wheel drive. Everybody should do that too. You should exercise that motor, because I promise you that Friendly's not the only guy in town that's going to have that problem this season. I had a customer of mine that decided to drive through the desert to avoid a crash on I-17. He got down in the middle of this valley. He put it in four-wheel drive. He didn't have four-wheel drive, and he ended up rolling his Jeep down the mountain.
just so you know, I put it in four-wheel drive, and it worked great. It's when I got to my house and stopped and put it back into two-wheel drive the next morning.
Okay, and that's just because it's cold, and that's because it hadn't. See, it's been.
Well, I take that back. That woman of mine did that.
Yeah.
You know, the things she does.
You know what? I wonder
about it.
Well, friendly, you might do this. Check this, because just the other day I found out that in 19, whenever I got married, I didn't understand it, but they have 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year marriage license, and I could only afford the 10 year one. So I haven't broken her the news yet.
But
my marriage license is only for 10 years. And
that's hell to pay at that friendly's house tonight. That's for sure.
God bless you, friendly. Thanks for calling,
okay,
buddy.
Okay, we'll see.
All righty, Bob, you're up next. Bob, how can I help you? We need to be quick.
But my son's in college in Indiana. He's driving a vehicle my wife and I own. The registration is going to expire next month, and it needs emissions certification.
There's a way to handle that. You can call emissions, or you can go to, I don't know what the website is, servicearizona.com. And this is no different than if your son was in the military or anything like that. They have a way around this. There are people who have motorhomes that go to Alaska for the summer, and their car needs to have an emissions in July, but they're in Alaska. They have ways around that. This will not be a problem. So you're just going to need to show that he's there. Maybe take a picture with him in front of the post office or something. You know, something silly. But I don't even think you'll need to go to that. I think that they're going to accommodate you with no problem whatsoever.
All right.
All
okay, thanks, Mark.
All right, good luck to you. Thank you very much. Now, I think we got everybody. That's the fastest.
We got one more Dave if you want him.
Dave, go, baby. Go fast.
Hey, you're amazing with the knowledge you have, Mark.
Thank you.
The sound I have is... Hey, I put a master cylinder on my 97 Camaro.
Uh-huh.
Brake lights on. Your question and answer thing I agreed with. We can't get a hard pedal, and the red brake light is still on.
And you put a master in it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You need to. Does the master have two cylinders, two holes in it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You need to go front brake, back brake, left side, right side. I want you to because you've got the piston in the proportioning valve, you've got it stuck. That's the red light. So we need to take that piston, which has never moved in a long time, and we need to shove it all the way to the left and all the way to the right. We need to clean out all the boogers in there, and then this piston will center, the light will go out, and you'll be okay. So even though you've been bleeding it, I want you to do, pump it up, honey, hold it, open up the right front, then do the left rear, then do the left front, then do the right rear. I want you to bounce all over the car, and I don't want you to see to do the same side or the same axle at the same time. So I don't want you to do two fronts in a row. I want you to do a front and a back, and then a left and a right. And once you do that, you'll be back to where you started.
Hey, can I be a neighbor?
Yeah, you know, I am a popular guy in the neighborhood. but you know what? I just do it for the kids. You know, I'm the one that airs up all their bike tires and all that kind of stuff.
I've been there.
And I love that part of it. As a matter of fact,
you got one other second on my 97. It's intermittently throwing a service light, and we took it to the one whiskered guy at AutoZone.
Uh-huh.
And it's saying vacuum, evap, canister,
1 minute.
Fuel something switch.
And what's happening is the electronics will pull a vacuum on the tank to make sure that the integrity of the tank is complete. Well, when it pulls a vacuum on the tank, the question is did the vacuum really get there? And is the switch working? And can the switch see the vacuum? Or is there a leak? So there's three possibilities. You're going to need help with this one. And how we're going to do it is we're going to put smoke in the tank, and we're going to look for a leak. And if it's got a leak, we'll fix it. Then that fixes it. But if there is no leak, then we have to test the operation of the switch on the top of the tank that tells the computer, hey, I see a vacuum. It's holding, it's holding, it's holding. Then the computer says, thank you very much, and it dumps the vacuum. Is that switch working? And then we need to make sure the vacuum's getting there. So that's how it works. Alrighty, for the rest of you, thank you very much for spending your Saturday with me. My email address is mark@marksalem.com. I stand ready 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to help you out. And don't forget, Mark Salem never washed his hands after he went to the bathroom.